for the Kings and the Hawks. Hal Draper, who's got play-by-play duties once again tonight on NBC Sports California, pardon me, and Whitey Gleason. Hope you had a great weekend. Not a very restful weekend for 49er fans, Kyle. And I almost texted you a time or two and said, oh, man, you're going to have a lot of fun on Monday. And I held off. If Carlson had made that a field goal, I think I would have definitely been kind of conceding, sending you that text. But it didn't happen, and the 49ers advance, survive in advance. Yes.
It was.
Yes.
Let me just say. Really, I had no rooting interest. Like, I'm not a Niners fan. I'm not a Packers fan. But I found myself pulling for the Packers more than I've ever pulled for a team that wasn't my team. Like, oh, my gosh. You know how it's like when you I didn't want to count my chickens before they hatched.
Mm-hmm.
My Packers were playing great.
Yeah, they were.
Jordan Love was looking good. Brock Purdy was looking suspect. And I said, all right, we still got time. It's halftime. It's still plenty of time left in this game. Fourth quarter, still plenty of time left in this game. 6 minutes left, still plenty of time. And Brock Purdy led them down the field.
Ah!
That hurt more. I mean,
game
outside of my Eagles
drive.
Losing the Super Bowl, that was the worst loss I've ever felt.
Wow.
Because I was ready to talk some trash.
Uh-huh.
And it's funny because we got you. We got Jay. I don't hear nothing from you all weekend. No Drapes. How you and the family doing? Drapes, you get out and play any golf today? No. But as soon as the Niners win, hey, I get a text from Jay. Jay blowing me up. And I'm like, is that what we're going to do? Enjoy it now, Niners fans. That was a great game. Great comeback. Good win. But, man, you guys were almost done.
Oh,
you were
almost
done.
No question about that. You know, you watch a lot of games.
Yeah.
All sports. Everyone listening does. And I've seen a lot of 49er games going back to, like, Coach Walsh. And it was strange because all the games that game Saturday was reminding me of are games that the 49ers lost over the years. It never, until the missed field goal, it never, to me, felt like, oh, no, they're in there. Everything was like, this is a disaster. This is going to be a disaster. If they lose this will be one of the most disgraceful losses in 49er history, and they just can't get things going. And then the game swung around, and they end up winning with Brock Purdy realizing, well, I guess I better start showing Draper that I know what I'm doing.
Man.
And they end up with the win. It was an incredible day, but it was just kind of like, wait, what was that?
What was that? Because the Packers, as the seventh seed, I thought they played a decent game. They played a good game. But honestly, they should not have been on the field with the San Francisco. If you base 17 regular season weeks, these two were in different classes. But on this one day, as we saw last week with Dallas, as we saw last week in other games, this could happen. And when Debo went out, I thought, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Really what I thought is, oh, here come the excuses for the Niners fans when they lose. Oh, we didn't have Debo Samuel for half the game.
Didn't need him.
Didn't need him. Can we say, though, Jordan Love made the worst throw in NFL history.
It was a bad throw. I'll give you that.
The decision, the throw, the situation, because there was plenty of time left on the clock.
Yeah,
there was time.
There was.
You know, you do that against Mahomes or Burrow or some elite quarterback and not some young kid, you lose that game, or at least it goes into overtime.
Mm-hmm.
This guy literally gave the game away with the worst pass I've ever. I'm like,
you probably didn't watch Tampa Bay yesterday, the end of that game.
No, I know what you mean.
I missed that.
But seriously, it wasn't just a bad pass, Whitey. You know what it was? It was soul crushing. That interception crushed my soul. It made me seriously. I did not want to come to work today. If we didn't have a Kings game tonight, your boy would have had the January flu or whatever. Like, I would have been, can't make it.
You got vacation days, man. Come stop all that. Take it off. Don't come here and say you didn't want to be here now.
No, I'm just saying, man. Niners win. I'm like, you know what? I don't want to feel this smoke. I ain't ready to take
that. That was a terrible throw, but by that point, I felt like, all right, the 49ers are going to win. It's funny what you can tell about players just by watching on TV. The whole game, Jordan Love, you could see it on his face like, oh, man, he means business. But once he got the ball back after the 49ers took the lead, it's like, oh, he's scared. Now, it's understandable, but you could see it in his eyes. He was panicking.
But did you see the graphic they had when he took over on that final drive? He had like four fourth-quarter overtime game-winning drives.
Uh-huh.
And so I thought, okay, my guy might be ready for this. But sure enough, once they snapped the ball, it was I just cannot believe. Because I had been criticizing Brock Purdy all year long. Show me a two-minute drill. March down the field when it matters. Give me a comeback.
Yeah.
And he did it all in that game.
Yeah, I'm glad you pointed that out. I was going to give you an opportunity here because there's been so much confusion over what exactly it is that you feel towards Brock Purdy. I just wanted to you stated it there, but just for the record, if you could. So we all know where you're coming from. What did you make of Brock Purdy's game-winning drive?
If I'm being unbiased, which I usually am, I usually call it, I thought it was a great drive. Got it to his playmakers. I still think CMC's the MVP of the team, but he came through in the clutch.
Your boy bailed him out a time or two in that game, too.
No, he did. He totally
great
did.
Freaking catches.
Great catches out there. Brandon Ayuk, scooped one up that was at his knees or below his knees, made a great catch. I thought Brock Purdy did what he had to do to get the win. I thought he was pretty average, if best, those first three quarters. I thought, everything I'd been saying about him was coming true those first three quarters. He made some good throws. We talked about it before the show. The touchdown pass to Kittle where he just sailed it out there.
Yes.
The touch. That was a beautiful ball. I just feel like with Brock, he's a good quarterback. Let's pump the brakes on the Montana, the Tom Brady comparisons. My guy, Bonte Hill, Bonte down there.
Know him very well.
And tell me if this is off base, because you guys have been around longer than I have. He said that wasn't a Montana-esque performance. That was more a Jimmy G kind of performance we saw yesterday from Brock Purdy.
We can maybe pump the brakes on some of the Purdy-Montana talk if you can agree to pump the brakes on the talk that, well, he can't lead a drive in the final.
I just said he's a good quarterback.
All right.
He's a good quarterback.
Pumping the brakes on that? That he's the whole business of, well, I'd like to see him lead a drive. That's done now, right?
It was against Jordan Love and the Packers. If you go back to August when I talked about this, September, my whole thing was when it's time to line up with Patrick Mahomes, you do that against Patrick Mahomes, you lose that game yesterday. And it's a whole different narrative. Mm-hmm. Jordan Love turtled in the biggest of moments. Brock Purdy didn't. Give him credit. He didn't. But my whole take was, at the beginning of the year, when it comes time to line up across Patrick Mahomes and outduel him, is Brock Purdy going to be capable? And I thought, for the most part, yesterday, the Niners were winning or in that game in spite of Brock Purdy.
Yeah, he got it done, though.
But he got it done.
Here's the thing about Brock Purdy. This was really weird. Just trying to be, unemotional about it. I think he struggled with things that we know he can do. Overall, it's like that game was like, what's wrong with him? But he struggled on intermediate throws.
Yes.
And that's his bread and butter. It wasn't like he threw interceptions, although he got lucky on one ball. But the simplest throws he couldn't make all of a sudden because of the rain, whatever. I don't think that's a concern. It would be like, seriously, it would be like if you had a game, like maybe you're doing tonight, and the next day somebody said, Drapes, when Monk had that dunk, Drapes didn't get excited. Now, we know if that happened we would be like, it's okay. I think we know he can do that, right? That would not be a concern. So that's how I look at the Brock Purdy things, like, I don't know what was wrong, but we definitely know he can make those throws.
But I wonder, and I hear you, that's his bread and butter. That's what he can do. But as the moment gets bigger,
as long as it's not wet, he's going to be fine. I think that's it. It's in his head.
So hopefully San Francisco in January this upcoming weekend is nice and clear
and dry, from what I know.
But, if I was to give Brock Purdy a grade, no, sir. I'm not doing this for radio or entertainment.
Right.
What I'm speaking now is the truth here.
Right.
I'd give him a B minus, probably B. That's not any slander or anything.
Uh huh.
He was good when he needed to be good, as Shaq said. I make my free throws when they matter.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, he was being outplayed by Jordan Love in that game.
Jay, I wonder what Jay thinks of this. Yeah, I would give Brock Purdy letter grade. I would give him a W for the win because he won and he's moving on.
That's right.
What would you give him, Jay? You're back there wearing your Niners underoos. What would you give him?
Yeah, I actually am, but I think you're spot on. I think he struggled a lot. He made good plays. He had a good, you know, the run for eight, nine yards at the end on the last one, the 6 for 7, and of course the Kittle drop right there. He had a couple throws, like even the Ayuk where he dropped it on the sideline the series before the last series. That was a good throw. Ayuk dropped it, which hence Ayuk came back with the catch that was, you know, with the defensive back all on his back. I'm with you, Drapes. A B minus. I don't think he really did too much to the point where I honestly, and I saw this by someone, and I can't remember who it is, and I apologize on the reporter who said this. I think Purdy played well enough that his you know, supporters can say, look, he did what you got. The detractors have said he couldn't. And I think the detractors still have an opportunity to say kind of what you said. There were some things he left on the table. That game could have been a lot wider. And at the same time, you know, the rain definitely bothered him. And at the same time, I still need to see a little bit more. And I would like him to beat Detroit, you know?
Right, yeah, you got to beat Detroit. You got to.
The fact that they did win and he led the drive is just, can you imagine the discussion if they'd lost that game?
Oh, my gosh.
You know, if they didn't go anywhere in that final drive. But we'd be talking about one of the most significant losses in 49er
history. You're right. Dallas lost last week. This would have been bigger than Dallas.
No question.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, the fact that you're an overwhelming favorite in the NFC, you're going against a 7 seed at that with a young quarterback, with a defense that sure is playing better, but, you know, throughout the year was not a great defense, talking about the Packers. And they almost crapped the bed. They didn't, though. They didn't. And, you know, maybe it's this year, their year. I mean, the schedule is lining up perfectly for them. I still got some question marks because I thought the Packers were able to run the ball at times yesterday. And so I thought the run defense got exposed a little bit. Obviously, you know, the Brock Purdy situation. And so now you step up in competition. Detroit, to me, is a legit team. They're humming right now. They're playing well. And so we'll see. We'll see.
Did you hear the story that Brock Purdy told last week? What? I don't know how this isn't getting more attention. He told a writer, and this was him saying it. This is not a rumor or something. He said, they told me if I was healthy, I was going to be the quarterback, the starter, unless one thing happened. Do you know what that one thing was?
Oh.
We'll tell you when
we're right back. I like it. I like it.
To the Golden One Centers, we get ready for the Kings and the Hawks. It's the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.
Very proud of the guys in there. I thought that was as big of a mental challenge and just a character game as any game I've been a part of. I mean, when things aren't going how you want on offense, defense, special teams, you know, the rain, guys slipping a lot, you know, losing Debo early. Couldn't be more proud of the people in there and just how they persevere.
An incredible win for the 49ers. All things considered, that game appeared to be lost. It was, what happened?
Yeah.
Debo's are everything working against them, and yet Brock Purdy leads them back. And now they've got their hands full again this week against the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, an Alliance team that can play on both sides of the ball.
You're not wearing a Lions jersey yet.
No, not yet. My Barry Sanders Herman Moore jersey is in the mail. I put that out on social media.
Got a kidney? Hey,
I need to find something. But, you know, I thought about wearing the Brock Purdy jersey in today.
Ah.
You know, because, you know, I'm going to jump on the bandwagon.
Yeah.
But I'll wait to the Super Bowl. If they get in the Super Bowl, then I'll be like, yeah, my guy, Brock Purdy. No. Good win yesterday. I don't know about great.
Saturday.
Like, it was Saturday. Or Saturday, yeah. I mean. Yeah. Saturday. I don't know about great. They escaped. They should just feel lucky, fortunate, whatever. You know, they escaped with a win. The better team that day did not win the game.
I just think anytime you win a playoff game, it's a great win. Seriously. And I know, well, you know, it's price of admission. You're supposed to win that game. But they almost didn't. And you advance in the NFL playoffs, to me, it's a great win. But, of course, if they end up losing this week, everyone's going to point to that game.
Yeah.
Well, we knew something wasn't right. Back to that Green Bay game. But, like I said, Detroit is – we talked about them last week. They are really impressive. That's in a lot of ways. That's a tough matchup for the 49ers.
I think so. I think, you know.
Number one rushing defense. Yeah.
Say that again?
Number one rushing defense.
And they play with a toughness, a physicality. They take on the personality of their coach. And so I think it's going to be a great game this weekend.
Yeah. But at least here with this quarterback matchup, Brock Purdy, I think I'd rather have Brock Purdy than Jared Goff, right?
You know what? You bring that up. And I was thinking, of the four quarterbacks left, where does Brock Purdy rank?
Third
at best?
I think so.
Some would say fourth.
Some would,
depending on, you know.
I mean, Goff's been to a Super Bowl.
Right.
He didn't do much there.
He's leading a team in the Detroit Lions that's not as stacked.
Yeah.
As
But even if we said, oh, last, we're only talking about four guys, and they're all still playing. So to say, oh, he's the worst of the four, that's not even really an insult.
I would like to take a look at historically, and I'll do this in my off time when I have nothing else to do. Does the best quarterback most of the time win? You know what I mean? Like, Patrick Mahomes, he was better. Jalen Hurts was fine last year, but Patrick Mahomes was better. Tom Brady. Does it come down to the quarterback ultimately when it gets down to the Final Four or the Super Bowl?
Yeah, it's hard to say because then you've got games like Stafford, Burrow. Who's better? Well, Stafford was better in that game, right? But who's better?
That's tough, right?
Speaking of better quarterbacks, this is incredible. Brock Purdy was talking to Nick Wagner of ESPN last week, ESPN.com. And Purdy told Wagner, here's the quote. Early in the offseason, this is Wagner talking. Early in the offseason, Niners coach Kyle Shanahan sat down with Purdy and assured him that if he was healthy, he would be the starter. This is before last season. Unless Brady wanted to play one more season for his hometown Niners.
No way.
Yes. Quote, Purdy says, that meant so much to me. I remember him saying, if we can get Tom Brady, we're going to try to get him. And I was like, yeah, he's the GOAT. I get it. But something deep down inside me was sort of like, dude, I just showed you that I can play well.
Going into this last season.
This season that's still, we're still playing. And we were one game away from the Super Bowl. More than anything, I was like, okay, now let's go. Isn't that incredible?
That is incredible. That is, you know what that, so when was this conversation? Do we know?
He had the conversation with Nick Wagner like 6 days ago.
But when did Shanahan tell him that?
Early in the offseason.
Because if I'm correct, Shanahan came back. He's the real deal. He's our guy. Everything. It sounds to me that, according to that, Shanahan wasn't 100% all in on Brock Purdy.
I don't know.
That's how I read that.
Yeah, we do know this. Tom Brady, not too long ago, posted something on social media indicating that he nearly unretired in May.
Wow.
It wasn't clear. A lot of people thought, oh, this is a joke. And maybe it was. But I don't know why no one's talking about this. Maybe because, like, yeah, whatever, we move on. But still, it's like, whoa. I wonder if someone went to Brock Purdy and said, you know, you probably should have kept that.
Right. Probably shouldn't have said that. You're being a little too honest right now. That is a big-time admission. And, you know, can you imagine Tom Brady? Like, if I'm Tom Brady, why not? Like, this team was loaded.
Uh-huh.
Stacked. A chance at another Super Bowl. Maybe you just were tired of playing, didn't want to play. But, man, where would Brock Purdy have been then? Like,
He'd be Sam Darnold,
right? And would he be trade bait, or would they just hold on to him and then next year you're our guy? That kind of thing.
As we all know, 2020, Brady wanted to play for the 49ers.
Yep.
And they said, we're sticking with Jimmy. And so now, apparently, time passed. The 49ers went to him this time, and he said, no, I'm good.
Incredible. Man, so Tom Brady, can you imagine?
There's probably a lot of teams that tried to get him.
Oh, yeah. That would have been massive. And Tom Brady, we know he's the greatest of all time. On this team, exactly. On this team, come on, man. It wouldn't even be fair.
I'll say one thing for Shanahan. Again, assuming this is all true, we have no reason to assume it's not. Kyle Shanahan went to him and told him, yeah, we want you unless this is going to happen. When Harbaugh coached the 49ers, he told Alex Smith, you're the guy. Next thing we know, there was footage of Harbaugh in disguise going to a Peyton Manning workout.
Wow.
Yeah.
Which is 10 times worse.
Like, oh, yeah.
You're the guy.
Yeah.
and then sneaking behind his back.
Right.
Yeah, but at least Shanahan was up front. And that's the thing about Brock Purdy. You know, he's moldable. Like, he'll take whatever Kyle Shanahan says. Doesn't seem to have as much of an ego. Not going to make a big deal. Not going to make a stink. Thankful for the opportunity. And so he was moldable for Kyle Shanahan. And that's a huge admission. But everything you hear from Brock about Brock Purdy is humble guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at him. The way he looks, the way he dresses, the way he acts. He doesn't come across as, I'm the dude. And I think, you know, that's sort of what Kyle Shanahan, you know, it's Shanahan's team. Like, nobody's, like, could Tom Brady come in and listen to Shanahan?
Maybe if it was 1 year. We scratch your back, you scratch yours. This is what we're doing. 1 year, you win a Super Bowl. You go out as the Super Bowl winner with your hometown team.
Yeah.
What do you think? I'm sure he had to think about that.
I probably would have did that. Super Bowl team, Niners, to win a, bring a Super Bowl back to that organization?
Right.
I mean, you're already a legend, already a GOAT. But
Tommy, just give the ball to CMC.
Hey, you got
you
CMC.
You win a Super Bowl.
You got, man, when you look at it, too, probably would have been the best roster he's ever played with. Like, even in New England, they had some holes. They didn't have a whole much of a running game. You know, their wide receivers could be questioned. Like, this was a tailor-made situation to make it to the Super Bowl.
Interesting. But that's all right, because Brock Purdy's on his way to the Super Bowl? Question mark?
Promised land. Whitey, go ahead and claim it. No question mark.
I'm leaving that open. I want to see where Mr. Draper's going to enter that door.
What's so upsetting to me about this whole situation, and I'm looking at the text stream right now. There goes Drapes with the Purdy hate again. Dude leads a game-winning drive, and yep, more hate. What's so upsetting, as much as people say, I hate Brock Purdy, which I don't, the level of reverence and defending, it's like I've insulted their brother or their mother. It's a football player. It's a football, professional football player. But the way some of these people out here are defending this guy, it's like I insulted their mother.
Oh, yeah.
Calm down. It's Brock Purdy, a football player.
But I think this is the perfect chance for you to hop on the 49ers bandwagon.
Nah.
No questions asked. Full amnesty.
Nah.
Right?
My boy Dan Campbell and company. They,
We've given you so many opportunities.
Here's the thing. How would I look?
You're like the kids. You're beating yourself.
I said, all right, I want Brock Purdy to win. Like, I built my whole career here the last 6 months saying Brock Purdy's a good quarterback, but I need to see it.
Uh-huh.
The job is not finished. Do your job, as Bill Belichick said. You got to finish the job. I've been told by Niners fans it's Super Bowl or bust. You get a win over the Green Bay Packers, and you want me to wave some a Niners flag over
really
the Green Bay Packers?
Don't really want you to. Just wanted to, because, you know, you're our friend. We wanted to give you the opportunity.
But, Whitey, what
for
have
your
you accomplished?
Sake, not ours.
You beat the Green Bay Packers.
Right.
The number 7 seed.
Right.
The worst team
that
in the playoffs.
For the
you beat
trip to the Super Bowl this week. That's what
now,
that
if
means.
You beat the Lions, okay, now you're doing something.
All right.
We'll
all
see.
Right. Coming up next, when's the last time the Kings lost 5 straight? Not saying they're gonna, but when was the last time they did that? Next from the Golden One Center, it's the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.
You can talk all the trash now. Don't let my Green Bay Packers come in there.
What is this song? It sounds like Philadelphia Eagles theme song for this season. Is that what that is?
Nah, man. Nah. It's what song is this, Jay? I forget the name of this.
It's Metro Boomin.
Yeah, Metro Boomin. This is
with Future,
a heater right now.
Drake.
This is one where you in the tunnel before games you play.
I'm just saying it's a little somber. That's all. It's just a little.
This is one that gets you hype, bro.
Unreal.
This gets you hype. This gets you ready to do business.
On the YouTube chat we have from Alan, he says, "Whitey looks like he coaches the Bills in his off time." is that comparing me to Sean McDermott? I don't mind that. I don't think I look like him. It doesn't insult me.
Yeah, I would. Explain yourself, right?
I don't think so. They used to say, people on the show used to say I look like, was it Jurgen Klinsmann, the coach of the.
Oh, yeah,
No, I didn't like that. But this one was like, I don't know. Kyle Draper, by the way, is on a mission today because the Kings are playing the Hawks, which means that Dominique Wilkins is in the building.
Yes. We're going to get Dominique. I'm telling you, I may go if he's willing to walk up the steps, he'll come up to me. I may have to take him back to the elevator and get him to come.
RJ set you up the microphone courtside, so you could, but it's just one, right, RJ?
It's just one?
What, RJ's Mike, not courtside?
Dude, yeah. What website you on, RJ? What is that, man?
What'd you guys need?
Sorry, man, I'm napping after the Niner game. That was a good one. I'm sorry, what's the question?
If Drapes were to get hold of Dominique down there, it's just one mic, right? Yeah, so he couldn't really interview him down there.
No, he could. There's a headset there. He could talk to you up here.
I see.
And yeah. He'd be able to hear Whitey also?
Oh, like, yeah.
All right, we're going to get Dominique on. At some point today, as long as he's in the building, my guy Dominique is going to come on with it.
Okay. Yeah, looking forward to that. By the way, on the way in today, coming in the building, I saw Scott Freshour.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the
yeah.
Who's ready to light the beam today? So I asked him, who's ready to light the beam? And he said, hey, no guarantees, no promises
Ouch.
Tonight.
So that's Scott. And he's just Mr. Positive usually. Yeah,
absolutely.
He's like just optimistic,
he is. You
know?
Absolutely. Yeah, so that's just kind of the state of things right now because the Kings are nursing a four-game losing streak, as you know.
Yeah, we're going to have Doug Christie coming up at 3:15 and ask Doug about this losing streak. But as I was driving in today, pulling into the garage, you know, one of the security guys said, we're going to get this one tonight. And the frustrating thing is no Trae Young, no DeAndre Hunter. I wanted to say yes. But I looked at him and said, I don't know. I don't know who's going to show up tonight for our team. You would think we've hit rock bottom. Four losses in a row. First time since the beginning of last season. First four games of last season. And here we are riding a four-game losing streak.
Just for the heck of it, I looked it up. Not that it's going to happen, but when was the last time the Kings lost five straight? You go back to January 16th through January 31st of 2022. The Kings actually lost seven straight.
Oh, that was the seven. I thought it was the nine gamer.
Yeah. No, didn't they have two nine gamers?
Nine gamers.
Yeah.
We've come a far, far cry from that, but I don't know what's going on with this team, Whitey. I'm concerned. And not because of anything I know. It just doesn't feel good right now.
Right. Right. You're saying you don't have inside info that you can't
share. Right. I can't say
that. You look at it, it's like, wow.
I'm looking at it as a fan, objectively, just look at it. It just does not seem right. You would think that you would come out shorthanded team the other night against the Pacers, no Tyrese, and they handle you like they did. Like, you would think this team tonight would come out fired up, few days of practice, couple days off, ready to go. But I don't know. I just don't know what's going to happen tonight.
I think part of the mystery is because I think the Kings in some ways have been passed by the rest of the league. Mm-hmm. Everyone else has done things since last year to improve, and the Kings haven't done much. They've done a few things that haven't worked. They've been prudent moves. They've been, you know, conservative. They didn't do anything major, but that's okay. They didn't feel like that move was there. But now, at the deadline, if you don't make a move, then you're facing you know, some harsh consequences potentially. So I looked at the standings today. Kyle, I know this is very fluid, and it changes a lot. It's very volatile game to game and day to day. But just to see him in eighth, it kind of gave me a little jolt.
Eighth.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Seventh is one thing, sixth, but you're in eighth place right now. And you got a little distance between eight and nine.
Mm-hmm.
But it's concerning because other teams, you mentioned things that they've added, but other teams are actually playing well right now. Clippers playing well. How about the Phoenix Suns?
Suns playing well.
They're playing extremely. Dallas is playing well, even though Dallas has a big game tonight against the Celtics. I mean, I just think, like you said, you're in danger of being left behind.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
these games matter. And so I think this is a massive game. You got a seven-game road trip coming up, Whitey. Seven-game road trip. So you got to take care of tonight against the shorthanded Atlanta Hawks team.
And let's be real about it. If they were to lose tonight, that would be another very discouraging.
Oh, boy. Loss, I can't even entertain that in my mind.
Right,
like,
right.
Emotionally,
home,
I don't know if I can handle that.
Yeah.
I mean, because then you're looking at this season, and I know there's still plenty of time left. You know, I know what you're 23 and 18. So you're at the halfway point right now. Plenty of time left.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels like this season is slipping away from you.
It does.
You know, and, you know, we heard the reports, whether it was Sam Amick or I forget who it was, Monty and the Kings want to make a move sooner rather than later. Like, sooner is right now. Like, you can't, if this continues to slide, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 game losing streak, or 7 out of 8, or something like that. Like, you're in danger of not only not, you know, being in a top 4 or 5 conversation, you're in danger of firmly planting yourself in the play-in situation. And I know some people might be okay with that. I'm not. I need one of these top 6 seeds this year for Sacramento.
It is kind of it's a little unusual, because here we are once again. It's the dog days of the season, you know, mid-January, and it's a Monday night. But this is a vitally important game for the Kings once again. A loss here would really do some damage to you in the standings. And also, you figure in terms of your psyche, however you wanted to find
right,
that.
Right, right. And we've talked about that. Like, psychologically, you need to start stringing together some wins.
Mm-hmm.
And as I look at the Kings' upcoming schedule, they should be favored tonight. I haven't looked at it, the number, but they should be favored tonight. Are they favored at Golden State?
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe they should be, but I don't know. At Dallas, at Memphis, maybe, yeah,
maybe.
Get that.
Certainly not at Dallas.
At Miami, at Indiana, at Chicago, at Cleveland. Like, there are no gimmies out there except maybe Memphis. And we've seen this team play down to its competition, level of competition. And so that's why tonight is so important. I mentioned it the other day, Friday, when we were on the air. Reverse momentum, negative momentum. That's what we're facing right now with the Sacramento Kings. The 14 missed free throws the other night. Malik Monk, of all people, now it's starting to get seep into their heads. And so now you need to somehow flip the momentum and go on a 4, 5, 6 game winning streak. That's what we need.
I would almost rather see them just make their free throws tonight than win. Not quite. They need to win, but it's like, please, just make your free throws. Can we shoot a high percentage from the line tonight? Let me ask your opinion on this. Yeah. When the Raptors were here, there was a lot of talk about the trade and Siakam, and it looks like something did come close to happening. And the fact that the Raptors were here seemed to stimulate some of that talk. Hawks are here tonight. There's been a lot of talk about some of the Hawks maybe coming here. Do you think that puts us any closer to a deal, the fact that the Hawks are right here in the building tonight?
I don't think so. I mean, it could in the fact that, you know, the GMs could meet, like, hey, when you come to town, let's sit down and talk or something like that. But all you got to do is pick up a phone. If a deal is going to be made, it could have been made yesterday.
Yeah.
It could be made tomorrow. Like, I don't think, you know, with them being in town and the way scouting is and able to watch, we know who the Hawks are. We know about their talent. They know about ours. And so I don't think you'll learn anymore by seeing them up close and personal.
By the way, Jay says Kings are 8.5-point favorites.
Tonight?
I believe so.
Wow, 8.5.
And to the point you just made, that's one of the funny things about the movie Moneyball. Have you seen Moneyball?
I have.
I believe the opening scenes, Brad Pitt, Billy Bean, he's got his backpack, and he's at the offices of the Cleveland Indians, and they're talking trade. And it's like, you don't go to the other team's offices, to talk about a trade.
And talk about a trade. Exactly. And so the Hawks GM is Landry Fields, former player. Stanford guy. And so I don't know. But the problem is, when you look at what the Hawks have that you would be interested in, DeJounte Murray, DeAndre Hunter, I think there's a market for those guys elsewhere too, like the competition to get.
Oh, yeah. Like, there's lots of talk about Murray and the Lakers.
The Knicks are, you know, rumored to be a part. Bucks. I mean, and so I don't know. We're 3 weeks away from the trade deadline. Not even 3 weeks, two and a half weeks away from the trade deadline, I think it is, or whatever it is. And I just think this team needs to do a move sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
Like, it would shock me. They come back from the road trip February 2nd, I think it is, or February 3rd. February 8th, February 7th. They come back. It would shock me if something isn't done by then. Their last game before the trade deadline is February 7th. Against Detroit, and that's their first home game. I got to imagine something has to get done while out on the road.
By the way, do you realize the Kings play on Super Bowl Sunday? They're at Oklahoma City.
Yeah, and I think I'm on the road for that. Why are you bringing up bad news here? and the problem with that, it's not like they're in L.A., an hour flight. OKC, like, we're going to be on the plane probably when the game is going on.
I just Super Bowl don't understand why, yeah, why they would do that. All right. By the way, your guy, DeJounte Murray, he was our guy. He's now your guy.
Yes.
I am 100% out on getting him now.
Why?
100%
Whitey, out. You are terrible, man. You are flip-flopping.
Like you said, sometimes new information becomes available, and you process that.
Okay.
Change your opinion. So I'll tell you why, if you all care, right. Why I'm 100% out on Murray. Also, why Kings coach Mike Brown is a big fan of 49er fans after this weekend. That and more coming up from the Golden One Center with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. Great to be back at the Golden One Center tonight. Kyle Draper, he's got the play-by-play duties again tonight for NBC Sports California. Whitey Gleason, I mentioned it on the way in. I saw Scott Freshour, and he does such a great job. And Scott Moak does such a great job. And Slamson does such a great job. We're so lucky here, the crew that entertains us, you know, before the game, during timeouts. And I'm sure there are many, many people behind the scenes that I don't even know that are part of that too. But we have a really good – and they just – that's
crew,
one of the reasons they just won an award, right?
Yes, best Kings. Organization in the league. And that's, you know, not just from a basketball standpoint, you know, the beam, fan experience, all of that. And I was about to say, it's kind of quiet in here. Usually it's a lot of stuff going on, right?
Careful what you wish for.
I know it is. But no, it and Golden One Center, and I've been around all the arenas in the NBA, easily the best arena in the association. From the seating situation, from a fan engagement, from a concourse, concessions, like just the ease to get in and out of Golden One, bar none. Tops everywhere. I mean, this is a crown jewel of the NBA.
How did your PA announcing go at your son's school on Friday?
My Vista Del Lago Eagles. Oh, my gosh. First of all, Whitey, let me just say, I love Vista Del Lago. They rolled out the red carpet for me.
Great.
My son's a freshman there. And he's like, I pull up and I talk to him. He's like, Dad, there's at least 100 to 200 posters of you up around campus announcing that you're going to be here. And I'm like, for me, little old me? And they were just so excited to have me there. And the game was great. Vista jumped out to an early lead. They played Del Campo. Del Campo came back, though. You know, let me just say this. When a kid is shooting a free throw, it's okay for students to scream out, you know. But parents shouldn't do that. Adults should not do that. Just try and make the kid miss.
I'd
like,
agree
with that. I'm cool with, you know, the opposing team, like the student section, student body. Okay. But when you got 45-year-old men screaming at 14, 15, 16-year-old kids to miss a free throw, that just bothers me.
You know, you shut them up, you make the free throw.
You make the free throw.
Yeah.
But let me tell you this, though. So if Vista would have won, they did this thing where they made this huge V, and they were going to light the V.
Ah.
You know, that was their big
thing. Gotcha.
And so at the end of it, the Del Campo cheering section, parents, because they didn't have really many students that travel, they were saying, light the beam, like sort of as a shot. I don't know. It just rubbed me the wrong way. Maybe because of how close I am to Vista. Those are my people out there, something like that. But – to me, grown men should not be yelling at 16-year-old kids.
Huh.
Like, I don't know. Obviously, you disagree with me on
no,
that.
No, I would just – there's nothing you can do, and I would just say to the kids, not that I'd ever talk to them, I'd say, yeah, I probably wouldn't do that, but you know what? Shut them up by making your shots, and, you know.
Both can be true, right?
Yeah.
Both
right.
can be true.
Right.
You know, all right, you want to do that? I'm going to knock these down.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, and that, but it just – out of the blue, you turn around and you see this 46-year-old man. I don't know, man. It rubbed me the wrong way. So other than that, the game was great. It was a fun time out there.
Speaking of heckling, you know, I mentioned Scott Freshour. You ever heard the story of how he got started in what he does?
No.
It's incredible. He was a student at Sac State, and he said he used to go to the football games, and he would heckle the other team. And I guess he got after him pretty good.
Really?
He said somebody from Sac State comes up to him and his buddies, and he's like, well – we're getting thrown out. And they go, no, no, do you want to work in our sports
what?
Media
I'm
intern
really?
Department. Yeah.
Wow, that's
yeah.
an interesting story.
It's like, you're really good at that. Why don't you work for the
really good at heckling. Why don't you be our professional heckler? You
yeah.
know? Oh, that's funny.
How about that?
No, he does a fantastic
he
job,
does.
Man.
Yeah, yeah. He was a little, you know, reserved. I saw him early today, but that's just kind of the way everybody around the Kings is right now. Hopeful. Reserved, but hopeful tonight. You think the beam still
cautiously
works?
Optimistic.
Does the beam still work? Of course it does,
of
right?
Of course it does.
Might want to check it.
They put some new batteries in it. It'll be ready to go tonight. It'll be ready to go.
Did you hear about Mike Brown's weekend?
I did. Wow.
His son Cameron is a defensive quality control coach on the 49ers staff. I did not know that.
I didn't know that either, actually.
Yeah. So he was at the game, but sounds like he wasn't well prepared for the inclement weather.
He said what? He forgot hat? Poncho, all everything. Like, what are you doing, Mike? Just rolling around.
I wish
shorts yeah. and t-shirt.
Like, I wish I had my phone because I'd give her a shout out. There was a sweet, sweet gal. I thought I was prepared when I left here to go down there to Santa Clara, but I left my hat here. I left my gloves here. Soon as we got to our seats, it started raining. I was like, I don't have no poncho. I don't have nothing. I can't open my umbrella. And then one guy apparently said, like, you can have my poncho.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, no, that's okay. And then another fan, this woman that he's talking to, she apparently had some. She brought extra rain gear. He's like, here's a couple ponchos for you.
That
saved his day.
I had no idea Niners fans could actually be nice, you know, because when I went down there, they didn't give me anything.
No
except
poncho
the middle finger,
for you.
Right? They just gave me dirty stares and middle fingers. That's all I got from Niners fans when I was. I joke, Niners. I joke. I'm kidding. Oh, man.
There but was what, a sweet
what the,
lady.
But what did Mike Brown, I mean, did he just think I'm Mike Brown? Rain won't touch me or something? Like, what is he?
I left my hat and I left my gloves. Huh. You know, he's probably right now, he's got a lot on his mind.
Right.
Everything he does is like, hey, it's time to eat. Okay. Let's see. How can we make more free throws? Hey, we got to eat. All right. What? You know? So, I left my hat and gloves. There was a sweet lady sitting behind us. She goes, hey, I got two in my backpack. I got her name in my phone. I'm going to give her tickets. But she saved my behind. Literally, I had a hoodie and then a 49ers t-shirt over it. And it was just starting. I could feel my back getting wet and cold. It was just starting to soak through. Once I put that thing on, I was good to go, baby. I was good to go. And what a great win. Oh, my gosh. It was a great win. End quote. Mike Brown.
I'm glad he had a good time. But when you're an NBA coach of the Sacramento Kings, you're not in John Lynch's suite. You know what I mean? You're not hanging up. Rubbing elbows with John Lynch and ownership and all that.
When you say that, when I first read the story and heard it, I thought, oh, he was on the sideline. And it's like, wait, he wasn't.
He just in the stands.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, maybe Mike is that guy. Like, no ego, you know, man of the people.
But it's not Mike. It's the 49ers should be, oh, no,
right.
You're not here. You're up here.
But that's Warriors need area too. Like, you can't.
But he wasn't with the Warriors. He helped the Warriors
exactly.
win
You're
championships.
Right. Mike Brown shouldn't have to buy a meal down there. He should. He probably paid for his own tickets, too, to go support his son. What kind of – I guarantee you, if Kyle Shanahan came here, he's not sitting in section 221, row J.
He
Kyle
is if Shanahan. He comes here for a Warriors game,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, you're right about that. If he comes here for wearing his Warriors gear, yeah, you're right. But, I mean, you would think
– I'm with you.
Yeah,
it's a little surprising, especially when his son works for the organization.
Right.
But you're going to use this now as fodder for your anti-49er argument, aren't you?
Well,
they didn't treat him well.
That one fan hooked him up with the poncho. I can't wait. We need to find out what game she comes to. Because
yeah.
This one lays her
yeah.
some tickets. That'd be sweet, though.
Is this as bad as the way the Spurs treated the
David second row, David David Robinson is the greatest Spur ever. And don't tell me Tim Duncan. Tim Duncan's great. Understandable. But there is no Tim Duncan without David Robinson. David Robinson should be center court. Think about it. We look at our – dude, we had Mitch. We got, Brad Miller. We got everybody sitting courtside at our games. And David Robinson.
We got MC Hammer.
MC Hammer. MC Hammer ain't had a hit in about 30 years, and he get courtside seats. But David Robinson, who brought multiple championships, got to sit in second row. That's just.
He put that franchise on the map.
Seriously.
He an Iceman. Yeah.
That still bothers me.
All right. When we come back today in Trade Talk, There may be a new name being linked to the Kings. Tell you all about it when we come right back to the Golden One Center on Sac Town Sports.